ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter Number 37, Text Number 7 onwards. Samedhamanena saha Krishna Bahuna Niruddha Vayuhu Charanan Cha Vikshipan Prashvinna Gatra Parivritta Lochana Papata Landam Visrujan Kshitau Vyasuhu Samedhamanena Krishna Bahuna Niruddha Vayus Charanancha Vikshapan Prasvinna Gatraha Parivritta Lochanaha Papata Landam Visrujan Kshitau Vyasuhu Samedhamanena Sakrishna Bahuna Niruddha Vayus Charanascha Vikshipan Prasvinna Gatraha Parivritta Lochanaha Papata Landam Visrujan Kshityau Vyasuhu Samedhamanena Sakrishna Bahuna Niruddha Vayus Charanascha Vikshapan Prasvinna Gatraha Parivritta Lochanaha Papata Landam Visrujan Kshitau Vyasuhu Samedhamanena Expanding Saha He Krishna Bahuna By Lord Krishna's arms Niruddha Stopped Vayuhu His breathing Charanan His legs Cha And Vikshipan Throwing about Prashvinna Perspiring Gatraha His body Parivritta Rolling Lochanaha His eyes Papata He fell down Landam Feces Visrajan Excreting Kshitau on the ground Vyasuhu lifeless. Translation: As Lord Krishna's expanding arm completely blocked Keshi's breathing, his legs kicked convulsively, his body became covered with sweat and his eyes rolled around. The demon then passed through and fell on the ground dead. Tadehat karkitak kaplopamad vyasor pakrushya bhujam mahabhujaha asvito yat ayatna hatarikah suraihi prasunvarshair didurbiriddataha. The mighty arm Krishna withdrew his arm from Kesha's body, which now appeared like a long karkitaka fruit. Without the least display of pride And having so effortlessly killed his enemy, the Lord accepted the demigod's worship in the form of flowers rained down from above. Devarshi upasangamya bhagavat pravaro nrupaha krishna mallikasta karmanam rahasye tad abhashata. My dear king, thereafter Lord Krishna was approached in a solitary place by the great sage among the demigods, Narada Muni. That most exalted devotee spoke as follows to the Lord, who effortlessly performed his pastimes. Purported by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After speaking with Kamsa, Narada went to seek Lord Krishna. The Lord's Vrindavan pastimes were nearly completed, and Narada Muni wanted to see those he would enact in Mathura.
Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militanjena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guruho Sri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavasya Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Tam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanatamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Sri Radha Kanta Namastade Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sati Devi Pranamami Sri Hari Priye Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Devarshi Urpasangamya Bhagavata Pravaro Nupaha Krishna Mallikasta Karmanam Rahasyed Abhashata. My dear king, thereafter Lord Krishna was approached in a solitary place by the great sage among the demigods, Narada Muni. The most exalted devotee spoke as follows to the Lord, who effortlessly performs his pastimes. Yesterday we were discussing some point about whether we should consider Narada Muni to be a demigod or not. Narada Muni is considered here to be demigod, but he is the great sage simultaneously. So some personalities may be both functioning as demigod as well as a great devotee. If he is acting on the platform of a demigod, what is his function? If he is acting on the platform of a pure devotee, what is his function? They are expertly combined in the character of Narada Muni. And his entire action is so much in tune with the Lord's desire that even the function seems to be of a demigod, that he goes so freely and being respected even among the demigods as well as demons equally. And Narada Muni, who is totally free from enmity with anybody, just to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every circumstances, whether they are, you know, seemingly conflicting circumstances, or the circumstances of rejoicing in the company of demigods, or even Lord Krishna himself. He is in the best reposed situation of a devotee regardless. And the demons cannot smell anything fishy about Narad Muni. The demons cannot. He acts so expertly. Now we saw Narad Muni approached Kansa and declared something that he was ignorant of. And Krishna thought, wow, so far I didn't know. Narad Muni is my friend. He is telling me that Krishna and Balaram, they are actually Vasudeva's sons, and they cheated. So Lord Vishnu must have sent them to kill me. Lord Vishnu himself is so afraid that he cannot come, so he must have sent. So Narad Muni is my friend. Kansa was thinking. But Narad Muni knows what is the reason why he is telling so expertly and convincing without any tinge of any doubt arising from a demon's mind. Doubts are like demons. We must eradicate. So how to reconcile in our development of devotional service that something we may be coming into the contact with controversy, sometimes we are being afflicted by some kind of somebody's politics, some treachery. Narad Muni is the best example to follow, that how expertly he can develop the art of remaining as a friend of demons and never think anything against, but incite them to do certain activities which apparently to the demons it is disfavorable to the Lord. He is on our side. So he will make his departure from this material world very quickly, because Narad Muni is so confirmed about the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he will aid to expedite the pastimes of the Lord in order to kill this demon very fast. So not everybody can be exposed, so he went in a secluded place to see Lord Krishna. He's a transcendental spy. Narad Muni is a transcendental spy. He can reveal only the intricate matter with the Lord. And in a very beautiful, so he prays the Supreme Personality of Godhead and requests. The Lord, in the heart of the devotee, he knows what is he doing. But it is so favorable for the Lord's glorification that the Lord is in tune. Okay, Narayan, thank you for revealing me. Now I will wind up my Vrindavan pastimes and I will go. Because we have to accomplish a lot. Second thing, it is so easy for the Lord to smash any kind of demon. And still he shows no pride. He is not glorifying the prowess himself or by showing any gesture. He kills them effortlessly. Effortlessly. So this is very inconceivable for the demons, for demoniac mind. When we have some doubts regarding even spiritual matters that we cannot understand, it is better to reveal. That is, guhyam prachati akhyati cha. The devotees are supposed to reveal their mind. So opportunity for the demon-like even doubts that are hampering our devotional service, the progress, can be removed. And a devotee well conversant with the transcendental topics, they are always very, very eager to converse those things. We were just coming about the conflict resolution, and some of the points they have been now discussing in Krishna conscious resolution of the conflicts. Where Srila Prabhupada is also telling about a devotee who is introspective, he starts to become much more thoughtful about the cause of the problem. And he finds in the development of his devotional service that actually he doesn't know what is the cause, and neither he is caring for the cause. Rather, he sees everything as mercy of the Lord. This is how dharma or the bull reacted when Parikshit Maharaj saw that Kali was hurting the last leg of the bull, the dharma, and after chastising Kali, he is addressing the bull, "How is that, you know, you are so spotless and yet you are suffering?" And the bull says, "Then actually I do not know any cause. Why am I suffering? But regardless, I am here to carry on the function even with one leg." Means, what is that leg remaining in this Kali Yuga? What is the leg?
Truthfulness.
A little truthfulness is there, but the absolute truth never diminishes. That's why it is there. No, the fourth arm is getting hurt. Kali was trying to destroy the fourth one, and Parikshit went and challenged him. So the leg of truthfulness is remaining. Mercy was lost, otherwise he would not have attempted to remove the fourth leg. But there is some truthfulness. And we must see that how we can retain the truthfulness. The absolute truth is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the mastermind in whatever condition one is getting into. He works directly, indirectly, because he is cognizant both directly and indirectly. How directly? In the personal relationship. Indirectly, by his expansions as Paramatma, who is sitting in everyone's heart. So he is directly and indirectly cognizant of each and every happening. That's why he is called omniscient. So a devotee is well conformed that why it is happening, he knows. He is sitting in my heart. In conflict resolution, this factor has to be more predominantly understood. So it helps the devotee to advance, as well as, you know, a real resolution will come right from his own heart. Otherwise, in conflict resolution, a win-win situation is being brought by a mediator, he's trying to restrict himself not to do suggestions, because he's refrained. Rather, he gets the answer from both the conflicting parties, so they can resolve themselves. But in Krishna consciousness, we should discuss in the devotee circle, in case of conflict resolution, that we should discuss about the omnisciency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and a devotee should be well confirmed, so they can act in total freedom, like Narad Muni, knowing the desire of the Lord. You know, Narad Muni is never understood to be a politician. He has no other business. But he aids positively in the service of the Supreme Personality of God. Because he is confirmed how the activities of the Lord's are so effortlessly, and he is not attached. He can wipe out simply by desire. The whole phalanxes, how many phalanxes? 18 phalanxes of the warriors assembled in the battle of Kurukshetra. And he said to Arjuna that simply by my will that they have all been destroyed already. Simply you become an instrument in carry on my will. You are not going to wipe out anybody. Neither you have the strength, but it is my desire. So simply by becoming conveniently agreeable with the desire of the Supreme Lord, a devotee becomes favorable in executing the devotional service. So, otherwise, the doubts will eat ourselves. They will devour us. And therefore, Lord Krishna says, for a doubting mind, there is no happiness in this world as well as in the next. Such wonderful activities of the devotees of the Lord are there. So, he is considered to be a demigod too. And even demons are also feeling at ease with him, with such a personality, because he doesn't have any weapon. He simply have his tambura. He is singing the glories of the Lord in every effort, but he doesn't appear in the demigod. In the demons assembly with chanting holy name, rather he appears, so they wouldn't doubt that here he comes. But he simply vibrates his veena, which is resounding the same Shabda Brahman. Approaches the demons without fear, as is the well-wisher. Because he is going to the demigod's side, he has a lot of information. So the demons also ask him, "What do you have news for us, Narad Muni? What do you have news?" And he will tell. Don't trust. These are the same two boys, They are the boys of Vasudeva. So, you have to kill them. You have to kill them. So, that the idea is that this kind of behavior of a devotee is highly appreciated. when we trying to understand the transcendental nature of the devotional service. It has nothing to do with any modes. So all the conflicts can be resolved if we, you know, take help of. So now it is being discussed, why don't we introduce this? And Prabhupada also says in so many places that devotee always should think, if they are in distress, they should think, tatte anukampam sasmikshamana. Bunjanam evam kritam vipakam. Radhavag vapurpi vidhatam namaste jiveta. Ye mukti pade sadayabhak. Jiveta yo mukti pade sadayabhak. If we think that because Lord Krishna is omniscient, therefore, whatever is happening to me, whether it is inconvenient to me, or distressful to me, is Lord's mercy. Because if I start to calculate my vipakam means the reactions of the sinful activities I have performed from time immemorial because of bodily conception, vipakam, I must at least get uncountable miseries. But why he is giving me only this much? Therefore, Lord is more merciful to me. He is simply giving me a sample. So he becomes so much broad-hearted within himself that conflicts get dissolved. The conflicts get dissolved. So that situation is considered to be the mercy of the Lord. It is given by the Lord by developing this transcendental quality, and one becomes very freed from the tribulations, at least within. Externally, never mind. But within, he should become very well conformed. So, devotees need to be educated, and this is a kind of suggestion that is coming in all our teachings, in all our... Right from the very beginning, devotees must be taught. Then the conflict within the devotee circle will become minimal. There will be at ease, and there will be not any situation. Nowadays, some devotees are taking even ISKCON to court. For resolving the conflict, they do not want to resolve within themselves. They want to go to the court to do that. So, which is very detrimental to both by principle and by the practical aspect of prestige of or fidelity to our institution. It is detrimental. Even by principle, it is not correct, and by practice, it's also not correct. So the point is that we must get education how these great devotees are acting on behalf of the Lord in any condition, because they are so confirmed. If we are more confirmed about this, then at least philosophically and practically by our training, Then there will be least amount of conflict, and we will become a very healthy society. So anyway, the point here is Narad Muni is having his own personal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is very devout. He knows the desire of the Supreme Lord, but because of his personal interactions with the Lord, he wants to share this activity of the Lord in seclusion. That means the Lord can reciprocate with everyone in the most secret way. That is not necessary to reveal. Revelation of the doubts and revelation of love of Godhead are two different things. Because the doubts may be in different level, and the development of love of Godhead is also on a different level. Both are opposites. So Narad Muni is in very, very intimate relationship with the Supreme Lord. No third person can share that quality of love. That is an individual with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes. But for the doubt, we are supposed to reveal our mind so we can advance. Just like asking questions, but at the same time, if something is more intense and we need personal guidance, so we go and try to seek such association by which revealing our mind in confidentiality, we will be intensely helped. In the same intensity, we'll get the help. So, this is a very nice arrangement that now the Lord is finishing his pastimes in Vrindavan, and Mathura and Dwarka pastimes will be beginning. So, the entire arrangement is that now Akrur is going to come and take Krishna and Balaram out of Vrindavan. So, more revelations about the supremacy of the Lord can be revealed. How do you separate Krishna of Vrindavan and Krishna of Mathura and Dwarka? Even though it's the same personality, but acting on a different level. One is an expanded level, another is a very intimate, concentrated level. Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are so intimately concentrated, it doesn't require him to work on a Vasudev level or son of Vasudev in Dwarka or Mathura. Where Vasudev is present, he is the son of Vasudev. So, the demons on other behalf who are gross in ignorance, they die at the hand of Krishna. They are automatically delivered. But you can see, Krishna also says that he puts them into the kshipami asajram asurim yoni means perpetually he is casting them into the demoniac species, so they never get a chance to come up for understanding the supremacy of the Lord. Never come to understand about the absolute truth even. So, however one may get liberated,
But liberation in Sayujya Mukti is very temporary and is casting again into that ignorance. Is it required that in Sayujya Mukti, just like anybody who dies, now Kesi has been dead, how is he dying? That is also very much important. He's dying, threshing his legs and passing stool. One who leaves the body passing stool means he's going to the south gate in the court of Yamaraj. One who leaves the body through the mouth is considered to be highly advanced. There are north directions, like Bhishma Dev passed when Uttarayana, means in January when the sun moved in the course of north, that path has been, so the soul is securely guided. But this demon is dying through the south gate. It is dead sure that one will be having a hellish darshan. Many a time a fear and other things come, and in the form of fearful death, person passes stool and urine. So forcefully that he leaves the consciousness from that gate. He's forced to, because that was his entire karmic activity, which made him so much insecure and fearful. So he will be totally engrossed in the fear. Fear means the cause of ignorance. Therefore a devotee has to learn that how to become secure, and the security is only coming to the recognition of the omniscience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is an important observation here in passing of Kesi demon and Narad Muni entering. Simultaneously, how the demoniac and divine is compared, and an aspiring devotee or devotee who wants to advance, then we must try to understand that such activity, they are at least worth understanding, and we can follow in the footsteps of such great Mahajans like Naraduni. Always try to think about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is sitting in our heart. Naturally he must be knowing everything, what's happening, why it is happening, and we can't put the material justification for those things. Material justification, we immediately try to get on the subject, but it is all frustrating. One can never come to conclusion by weighing pros and cons by material experience. That is not. We should have the transcendental paradigm to think. And only fortunate people who are developing devotion by chanting Hare Krishna can have an entry. Those who are not, it is too difficult for them to have the practical experience. And however they may try to become introspective, thinking within themselves how to resolve the conflict, because they don't have any faith in the omniscience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they fail. They can't actually help anybody. So this is a very, very important lesson.
So, anybody has any question?
They're eternally condemned for eternity, all these lower species of life. You mean, these lower species of life, they're eternally condemned into the lower forms?
Those who are demoniac, envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thereby they envy even the devotees, and they try to make life miserable for the devotees, then Krishna takes care of them.
Only in relationship with devotees, not the
ordinary. Yeah. But the devotees, on the other behalf, they are rest assured by devotional service, the omniscience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, they are always secure within themselves, as well as they tolerate the inconveniences outside. They do not make any extraordinary effort to save themselves. Rather, they live in a surrendered mood. They live in a surrendered mood.
Do most people enter the courthouse here in the ranch?
Yes.
Just most of the karmis?
Right, the karmis do, definitely. They help to give the accountability. By devotional service, the accounts of our karma are, forgiven. One cannot show any bankruptcy there. You can't declare bankruptcy in court of Yamaraj. Chapter 11 in America, what is it? You have to pay every penny.
It seems that in devotional service, when the opportunity is there to commit offences over a period of time to devotees or to the Lord, accidentally or
But you see, unless it's a grievous offense to blaspheme a devotee who has dedicated their life, then the only remedy is go and beg the forgiveness of that person. And if he forgives, it's all right. The rest of the offenses can be mitigated by chanting Hare Krishna. The foremost offense that we have to be very, very aware and we should not commit, and that is the blasphemy of the devotee who has dedicated their life. Yes.
Lord, said that the PC demon, when he died, passes through, not only to go to the court of Yamaraj, but at the same time is killed by Krishna and achieve liberation.
Yeah, but that liberation is not permanent. You see Sishupal, Dantavakra, Ravan, Kumbhakarna, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. That is the same personality, even from Vaikuntha, chose to become demon. Right? Krishna fulfills the desire, but he also shows that every time they were killed, Krishna immersed them in his person. But at the same time, they had to be replaced. Because they are individual. Merging doesn't necessary to lose the individuality. So therefore they have to be situated back in their original position.
Even people, all the living entities die, and even though they are suspended during the annihilation, they have to be given their form back by Brahmaji. That is the function of creation, the visarga of Brahma. At the end of the devastation, there is suspension of the jivas who are not free, right? But they live in the suspended form, but they have to be given opportunity when so Brahma awakes. He has to start the job of creation. And he gives them the body. So back into the same position. Maybe after a long pause. So, in our experience, death is not that long pause. Right? But because of eternal individuality is there, Sanatana Dharma means eternal individuality. And that has to be continued. How is that? The merging will become absolute. No way. So, Keshi has been delivered, okay, by the Lord. Then when he will go? He will still have to learn devotional service, which he is not. So he has to go back.
So, when this divinity, when they come back, normally when the divinity, when they die, they take birth, because according to the karma and all these things, so how does that work with those who are so called divinity?
So that if the demon is killed, and Krishna shows his mighty, but during the death, if the demon also surrenders with mental that here is the Supreme Lord, I cannot. So instead of continuing animosity, Krishna gives him chance by a so-called hard lesson, taking his life. Right? That is also an educating moment for him. If by the mercy, he may be educated, then he will become a devotee next life. Only thing is that it depends upon the individual's acknowledgement with the Supreme Lord. Demons who do not become agreeable with the desire of the Lord, then they have to be casted in the Asuri Yoni, Janmani Janmani, that they remain fools. It's their individual choice to remain in mudha state, the ignorant state. The Lord gives opportunities. Death is also opportunity to become aware. That awareness is consciousness and it can never die. So, how does a devotee take death? He takes death as the gateway for the new life. Has it done? But it's an educating moment. A devotee by nature, if he chants the name before dying, or if he hit the Lord before dying, surely he will get, madbhavam yanti. Krishna says he will achieve my nature. So it's the individual choice that where are we going? It's not that Krishna is throwing me into hell. Okay, I'll become a demon and I'll be killed by Krishna and I'll be one with him. No, that's a hellish mentality itself. Did Bhishma Pitama fought with a hellish mentality? No. A devotee is understood to carry on desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not against. Bhishma Pitama has developed the whole attitude not in competition with Krishna, not with enviousness with Krishna. He said, I'll make a vow and make sure that I will never break it. Nobody, no demigods can make it. And Krishna liked so much that he wanted to reciprocate in that way, to glorify Bhishma Pitama. So, therefore he broke his vow not to take weapon. This is devotional service. How do we understand that? The interaction between devotees in variegatedness, they are very good, learning points. Okay. Yeah. Narad Muni is lifelong brahmachari. His form is a very sober devotee. Right? So he's learned. His teachings are so powerful that even Prahlad within the womb can get educated. Now, most of the people, when they think of Narad Muni, especially those who are coming from India, because they have been watching so many religious movies where Narad Muni is depicted as a comic figure. His shikha is really shown like an antenna, raising up, so it becomes a funny character. And they make gestures also in similar way, as if they want everybody to laugh. But you see, as a character, as a devotee, is serious. Because of our contaminated vision, our contaminated knowledge, we think Narad Muni has political role. No, he is transcendental. So, unless and until we learn those things, the teachings are from Narad Muni. Narad Bhakti Sutras are there. So many things. How can we understand about the personality of Narad Muni? We understand the teachings of a person. Right? Does it answer your question?
In his previous birth, his mother was a maidservant of the Lord. sages, and then when she left her body, then he went out, and then was a vision said that you won't feel your sin in the next life or something like that. I can't remember, but basically he hadn't taken up birth, so then he came from Lord Bernard Bradley or something. So here he is in the tomb of the Lord, he can go anywhere. So Krishna seems to be that he doesn't have a material body to be able to do that, to be able to go to Vaikuntha and then go to,
right.
So my question is, that's it, Narayana, is that his...
It's the same person.
Yeah, so it's not like we leave his body and then we go to the spiritual world and then we're in our go back to body.
Yes.
Narayana, that's him, he's achieved everything.
Yes, but that is what it is, that we retain the self-same body even after liberation. You don't have to die even. And there are examples. Janak Maharaj was liberated with the same body. So, by practice of devotional service, once material body can become transformed into spiritual body. Does it have to change the shape, size, look? It doesn't say that. The spiritualness is the transcendental, means this body does not respond to the effect of the modes. Therefore, each and every situation within the body and they are totally transformed into nature. So you can go with the same body. This body never dies because it is spiritual. That is the original body we have to look at. And when it expands its awareness, then this body and that body becomes one. But we have two distinctions right now. Because we are obsessed with our ideology of material nature. And the spiritual nature, which is quite distinct, because we are living in this world. Do you will look to your material body? Because in his eyes, there is no difference between material and spiritual. Everything is spiritual. That is his realm. Right? So when a pure devotee like Narad Muni, he is in this particular state called Brahmachari. Does he have to go through Gurukul system and this to attain that? And is he aging? No, he is not aging either. That form is intrinsic on spiritual, and that form is spiritual. We never saw that Narad Muni has casted his old body. But Lord Krishna advised, when Lord Vishnu came before him, you know the story in the first canto, how Narad Muni was born as the son of a maid servant, and who dies by the snake bite, and he was raised by the mercy of the devotees who came for Chaturmasya. And after that, Narayana became so much desperately, there was nobody for him. So they said, only Krishna will help you. So he was inquisitive where to get the shelter of Krishna.
So he says, you have to do the austerity and this. And then he went through all that. So at the end of those austerities, when Krishna came before him, Vishnu came before him, he was completely speechless. He couldn't utter a word. He had darshan and there was no exchange then. So then Krishna left without telling him anything. So Narad Muni thought that by his austerity he can bring the Supreme Person back. So he started more rigorous practices and he started getting frustrated at such an extent that the Lord has to give him some solace by Shabda Brahman, by his then Narad, I mean, whatever you are, you can't within this lifetime can have my association. But after you give up this bodily conception of life, you will sure to come as my eternal associate. So he had to wait. So when that material body, he had to leave, he had his own body. Right? So the transcendence is within. But unless and until the Lord wants to appear by your total selfless situation and total surrender to the Supreme Absolute Desire, then he can even, and he can bestow that position like an eternal associate of the Lord. So we see. But in the eyes of the Supreme Lord, everything is spiritual because he's in spiritual constitution. But because he is omniscient and entering in the material world, he is not getting affected by material modes. That is his inconceivable potency of to remain always in transcendence. He is achyuta, he doesn't fall down into material concept at all. But tiny living entities, they do. So for them, there is a concept of duality. But the Lord still doesn't have the concept of duality in him. So when the devotee becomes in tune with the concept of the Lord, he also becomes spiritualized. And then he regains his spiritual form because it is hidden right now. It is hidden under this material body. Right? The spirit is eternal form. If the Lord has form and his part and parcel doesn't have form, how is it?
Dhruva Maharaj also went with the same body.
Well, which body? Material body? You cannot go. But because Dhruva Maharaj had two bodies, spiritual and material, the spiritual was not distinct. It was so hidden. He was not acting on that. Therefore, he performed in such a way that the Lord has to come and give him darshan. He was also speechless. But he had a sankalpa, the desire, and that's why he was doing it. Right? Narad Muni didn't have any desire except to see the Lord. Dhruv had desire to gain a bigger kingdom than his father. So the Lord came and Dhruva also was speechless. And he realized his mistake. The Lord has awarded him. He realized, my Lord, you yourself are so magnanimous and asked for broken pieces of glass. when you are the pure diamond, you are more valuable than what I'm asking. So I'm sorry, this is it. And the Lord says, no, I have come to bestow that, you know, blessings on you. Yes, we take. Then, because he understood the value of devotional service, then he says, please, grant me one more boon, that even though I will be ruling for the lifetime of a Brahma and the greatest kingdom, Dhruva planet, I should not fall victim of Maya. And he said, oh, that's all right. You are coming back home, back to Godhead. Yes. So after Brahma's lifetime, you know, that was his lifetime, then he was going back home, back to God. Right? And he remembered his mother even. The mother got benefited. So, devotional service makes everything possible. Akamava, sarvakamaihi, moksha kama udaradhi, tibrena bhakti yogena yajat purushambaram. Whether you are desireless or full of desires, or even tired from this material world, want peace, just worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead intensely, tibra bhakti. Very acute devotional service.